And over the course of 10 years, this voice dictated to her what became an 1,188-page manual known as A Course in Miracles. That's volume one. She also has volume two, which is 365 lessons. Every day you can go in, get your lesson for the day, and get completely and thoroughly indoctrinated in the teaching that this voice gave this woman. Now, what is that teaching? Well, it's your basic kind of run-of-the-mill, new-age kind of nonsense, repackaged and you know, trotted out in some new clothes. But basically, the Course teaches that God is all there is, and therefore we are all God. We are all a part of God, or God. It teaches that there is no such thing as sin. There is no such thing as evil, because sin and evil are only an illusion. And in reality, everybody in the world is absolutely holy. The only problem, it says, the only problem is that we don't realize that we are God, and so we are under an illusion. We believe we're separated from God, and so we've been deceived. We're under an illusion, the illusion of this world, and we need to realize that we are, in fact, and have always been God or a part of God. That's basically just Hinduism, westernized Hinduism. Let me give you some quotes to kind of give you an idea of what they want you to learn in these lessons. Number one, it says, my mind is a part of God's mind. I am very holy. Why? Because I say so. Because I realize it. Another one. God is the mind with which I think. Now, by the way, let me just say this here. This course specializes in repetition. You will hear buzzwords and buzz phrases throughout this course if you were to take it or go through its material. And that is one of the techniques of brainwashing. It doesn't matter whether you believe it right away. If you hear it often enough, over and over and over and over and over and over and over, you begin to assimilate it and believe it, and it becomes to you the truth. Another quote. My salvation comes from me. Yeah. How about another one? Myself is the ruler of the universe. Yeah. Can I just say something here real clearly? You are not God. I am not God. And let me say this other thing. I am glad that you are not God. And you know what? You ought to be real glad that I am not God, okay? Let's just get that straight from the beginning. Yes, we are all glad that Ty is not God. Amen. I'm right with you, brother. I'm right with you. There is only one God, and I am grateful and profoundly, deeply thankful to serve Him. There is none like Him. There is no one before Him or beside Him. Now, what does God say about this? Are you curious? He tells us right in Scripture, Psalm chapter 50, you thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You are not God. I am so grateful that I am not God. You know, with all the stuff going on in my life and my ability or inability to handle that stuff, if I am the only one I have to turn to, I am in a lot of trouble. I think there's a lot. Can you relate to that? You know, if I go in the corner, if I'm in a crisis and the whole thing is coming unglued and it's going to leave the track and explode, and I go to pray and all of a sudden I realize I'm the only one I can pray to, I am in a mess of trouble. I thank God for God that I can go to Him and He can rescue me. Praise God. Just to be sure where we stand and where they stand, let me share with you one more quote from the Course in Miracles, which says, do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. Until then, you're free to crucify yourself as often as you choose. This is not the gospel I intended to offer you. We have another journey to take, and if you read these lessons carefully, they will help prepare you to take it. Yeah, you'll take a journey. Straight into hell. I'm sorry, I am personally, and I ought not to be, but I get personally wounded by statements like, don't make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. That's a little personal. I should be offended. God help me, were I not offended. So this course openly admits that it is not the gospel as we know it. There's no sneaking around here. It says, this is not the gospel as you know it. It is another journey, another gospel that they are offering you. And that is a huge problem because as Scripture says, as the Apostle Paul warned very sternly, very severely in Galatians 1:8, he said, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. In other words, let him go to hell. You find somebody preaching another gospel that Paul did not preach, that Christ did not originate, he said, let that person go to hell because they are dragging multitudes with them. God will not honor lies in the name of the truth. He is jealous for his people with a godly, passionate, loving, caring jealousy. Oprah said one of the things that turned her off about the Baptist church is because the preacher was going on about what a great God he is. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And then he said, he's a jealous God. And she got a problem with that. She said, how can he be jealous of me if he's God? This can't be true. I really have a problem with that. Let me tell you, I think it is beautiful beyond words that he is a jealous God. If I have my little granddaughter at my side and I'm looking at something in a storefront window and some stranger comes along and tries to take her off with him and throw her in the car and take her away from me, you better believe I am going to be jealous for her. I am going to be passionate to protect her from those who would do her harm. So I don't have a problem that he is a jealous God. I am grateful that he is jealous over me, that he wants my safety and my well-being, and that he is interested personally in securing that. This is serious business. Oprah is preaching a different gospel. This is not let's slam some celebrity. This is a woman going on every media that is out there with billions of dollars using it to preach a different gospel, and a gospel which the Bible says is cursed. In fact, if you don't believe that, if this isn't sinking home, and you're just, D'Souza, you're just, overreacting, well, one of the promoters of A Course in Miracles, a guy named Kenneth Wapnick, has said, if the Bible were considered literally true, then the course would have to be considered demonically inspired. This is a promoter of A Course in Miracles. This is his own words. He said, if you're going to believe that the Bible is actually true, literally, well, then I guess, yeah, the stuff that we're teaching would have to be considered inspired by demons.
Duh.
Okay. Are we clear? I would have to say that is going around the door. That is not entering by the door. That is most definitely climbing up some other way. That is not the way to eternal life. It is not the way to the abundant life and the peace that passes all understanding that Jesus promised to those who follow him. You won't find it through that method. And it's interesting, for all the hype and all the hoopla, when this lady, Helen Schuckman, the one who created this Course in Miracles, when she died, there was a friar, a Franciscan friar by the name of Benedict Groeschel, who gave her eulogy. Listen to what he wrote about Helen Schuckman, very briefly. He said, this woman who had written so eloquently that suffering really did not exist, spent the last 2 years of her life in the blackest psychotic depression I have ever witnessed. And he himself, this friar, was a psychologist. This woman who wrote so eloquently that suffering really does not exist, spent the last 2 years of her life in the blackest psychotic depression that I have ever witnessed. Is that what you want? Listen, let me tell you a little personal testimony. All this stuff in this course is nothing new. It's the same New Ageism, Westernized Hinduism, and garbage that I was steeped in as a teenager. I ate this stuff up. I had shelves full of books on this stuff as a teenager. The book that convinced Oprah that all this stuff was real came from a place called Unity, which I had, you know, I subscribed to some of their newsletters. I had their books on the shelf. It was what I wanted to do with my life. And it is nothing but the same old New Age Hinduism that has always been around. And you know, let me tell you, did it bring me peace? I was a clinically depressed basket case. I heard voices speaking to me as I would fall asleep. I would have ups and downs, and you know, I would go through psychological hell thinking I was on the right path and wondering why I was not getting results. When he said this, she was suffering from the blackest psychotic depression you've ever seen, I can absolutely believe that. That is a dark place to be, and it's real. And you know what? That's the fruit of these things. When you start saying, I am God, I am the master of my destiny, the universe, I am the ruler, myself is the ruler of the universe, and it bows to me, brother, you are setting yourself up for pain.